So the message the Lord put on my heart for the night is just simply to meditate and bask in His love. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at scriptures on God's love as it pertains to Him for us, and also His love that He gives us to pour out on others. As He fills us with love, we're not selfish with it, but we obviously are going to reach out to others with the Lord's love. So we're going to dig in on that tonight, and I'm excited to do that with you. So we'll start. I'm just going to quote to you. Romans 5:8 is something that very popular verse where it says, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So obviously the greatest demonstration of love was what God did there on that cross, truly sacrificing completely His life for us, and even before His death on that cross, dedicating His entire life to really just compassion for others and love for others. He really did lay down His life for us. And what an amazing gift. His blood on that cross, as it was freely given for us to just wash away our sin and give us new life. And as we're just overwhelmed by that, the fact and knowledge of His grace and love through His sacrifice, that free gift, there's nothing we needed to do in advance of Him offering that gift of forgiveness. What can we do? How can we respond to Him but just to love Him back for first loving us? And then again, I'm going to go to John 15, and you can go there with me. So just a couple books back from Romans. John 15. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So this is Jesus speaking and just making it abundantly clear. There is no greater love. If you think of different ways we can love each other or love others, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for his friends. And if you think about it, that makes sense. What greater sacrifice is there than to give up your own life? And we can do that in smaller ways, as we die to self, as the Lord instructs us to do. Or you can do it in big ways like Jesus did, and He literally gave His entire life for us. So this is the greatest demonstration of love that God poured out for us. And it just strikes that chord of worship in us that there is no greater sacrifice, and that's what He did, and that's what He gave. And we have life because of that. And it's so good to be reminded of that fact. So we're going to spend a lot of our time in 1 John. So let's go there. 1 John chapter 3. And John, the Apostle John, is known for being the apostle of love. And he really was so impressed with the Lord's love. And this is his primary topic that he always spoke through the lens of love, if you read through the Gospel of John. and then also his other books here, 1 John being one of them. And according to church history, even up until his last days as an old man in the church, he was always telling people at church, little children, love one another. And that was just his thing. And it's neat. You know, the body of Christ, we all are different, and we all have different different areas of just focus, I guess, in our lives. If you think of the different people in ministry and in the body of Christ as we fellowship together, like Pastor Bill, his primary focus is prophecy. And the Lord just gives him that depth of just love for prophecy. And so he's the prophecy guy. And then I think of Pastor Chuck, and he always had this love smile on his face. So I almost think of him kind of like the Apostle John, just full of love. And you know, we all just minister in different ways and different giftings of those being gifted with worship and music, and those being gifted with exhortation and encouragement. My wife is gifted with encouragement. And it's just so neat. And that's why it's so important, right? That we gather together and we meet together and fellowship together, because then we get to exercise our different gifts with each other and we build each other up. And we can also go out in groups and minister in groups as our gifts put together are so strong, right? Because we're blending all these different strengths together. So I don't know, that just came to mind when I was kind of reading through John's writings in my devotion time, and just, I don't know, it's so neat to see his focus on love. And really, there is no greater gift than love. So let's read together chapter 3 of 1 John. Go to chapter 3 and verse 16. It says this, 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So again, because he laid down his life for us, we have this response of God, how can I respond to that? And we respond to him with love. We respond to him with, yes, Lord, to your outstretched hand. So after that moment of salvation where we said yes to God, then we just kind of started this journey of God, with God, where he's drawing us further in. He's growing our faith. He's showing us his love more and more. And the more we get to know him, the more we see his love for us. I was just thinking back on this year in my own personal life, and just, wow, Lord, you've been loving on me so much and growing my faith. As you know, a lot of you know, the church finances have been tight lately. And, you know, Pastor Bill stepped down from doing the accounting. And my dad asked if I could kind of step in and learn that. And I had no idea what I was saying yes to, but I felt led to. So the Lord, I knew that whatever the Lord leads me to do, he's going to equip me to do it, right? So by his grace, I was able to learn from Bill and learn a lot of amazing new things. But God's just been teaching me month after month. Just to trust in him, you know, and not worry. And he's done that in my own personal life, but then taking it to the next level, right? He's always drawing us deeper. And so, just with the church, and it comes so close every month. It's like, Lord, you got to do another miracle. And he does every month. You know, you don't know where the money's going to come from, but you know, Lord, month after month, you've done it. All these years, 40 years, our church has been together and through the thick and thin. And the Lord has always provided. And it's so true. You know, you read a scripture like God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And you know that with your head, and you trust it, and you have faith. But then it's deeper when you see it in action, right? And you just see God do it. You're like, wow, Lord, you sure do. Because I didn't see where the money was going to come from, but you provided it. Whether it was a check from somebody you've never heard before who just felt led to give an extra $6,000 all of a sudden. Like, oh, that covered the bills. Thank you, Lord. So it's the same with our personal finances and our personal life. It's just kind of bigger for the church when you got your utility bill is more like $5,000 instead of $500. But it's the same principles in our own life. And isn't it true that when we trust in the Lord and we put Him first, He just takes care of us? And He promises that in His Word, that He's going to take care of us. I love Matthew chapter 6, just how much the book of Matthew goes into that, how the Lord takes care of the little birds and the grass, and He clothes the grass with beautiful flowers. How much more is He going to take care of you and provide food and clothing for you? And we just don't need to worry. So it's just one way the Lord pours out love on us, isn't it? And we see His love in that way. So part of this message, I really wanted to get a little interactive with you guys and think about the way God has loved us in so many different ways. And starting in the book of Genesis, God created. Well, wasn't that a great act of love? So I wanted to just start kind of a verbal worship session where we can take turns calling out different ways God has shown His love, and starting with creation. And I can start off. Thank you, God, for creating fruit. I love fruit. You know? And it tastes great. He didn't have to create fruit. He didn't have to create anything sweet. But we get to enjoy food. Thank you, Lord, for food. Thank you for animals. They're amazing. Animals are so amazing. We have 5 cats, a chocolate lab, a bunny, and a snake. And the bunny, the chocolate lab, and the 5 cats, they all get along. And they all hang out in the backyard together. The bunny just roams around. And it's amazing. We have like this little Garden of Eden in our backyard. And I'm like, thank you, God. He didn't have to do that. You know, a lot of times these types of animals don't get along so well. You know, dogs like chasing cats and rabbits and cats and rabbits. I didn't know they got. In fact, I think I had rabbits when I was little that got attacked and killed by cats. I wasn't sure. You know, I just saw the aftermath. We assumed. Anyway, but just go ahead. Call out some things that are just amazing how God has poured out His love. Yes, the sun and the moon. Night and day.
Rain.
The flowers. The sky. It's gorgeous. The ocean. The ocean's amazing. I heard recently that it's like this huge filter. God blows the smog over the ocean, and the ocean actually takes care of it, that salt water. It's amazing. Yes, the birds. That is such a blessing. I was noticing that yesterday morning, too. Just the birds are so pretty when they sing. God gave them such amazing voices. It's incredible.
Imagination.
Yeah, that's a great one. It's part of my job, and I'm a product designer at work, and so there's a team of us that are a creative team that design software, the creative aspects of software, and how to make it user-friendly and stuff like that. It takes a lot of creativity and imagination, and we go into a war room, we write things on whiteboards, we paste things on walls, move stuff around, would this go better over here or over here, and it's really cool to kind of see the creativity in action and the imagination in action. And especially in kids, right? When you see imagination alive in kids and you kind of listen to them play sometimes. I think of my daughters when they were little. And just amazing imagination. You're like, wow, God. Yeah. What else? Grandchildren. Yes, I'm looking forward to that one. Yeah. Did you say wives? It's brownie points. Yes, thank you, God, for wives. And right there, we mentioned the beginning of this, starting in Genesis, God created man a helpmate. And he saw that we needed that, right? So we need each other. It's amazing. The gift of relationships in general, it's amazing. Just the details. So I would exhort you throughout the week, and all the time, of course, but maybe more this week, is try to notice the little details of, wow, God didn't have to create it that way, but that's amazing. And he cares about our joy and our happiness. And it's not our primary focus in life is not to gain happiness. It's to worship and serve him with our life. And some have more worldly happiness than others. But just the fact that he's forgiven us and we're going to heaven, we can have that constant joy. I think of my older brother, John, and his final 6 months of life. How much joy God filled him with in the midst of pain and suffering, losing custody of his kids, and just disease, you know, the lowest of low that you can think of in a worldly type fashion. And he was financially busted and losing his house, all kinds of terrible stuff. But the Lord showed up to him and gave him a vision that just, it blew his socks off. And God just gave him a glimpse of heaven and the reality of heaven and the reality of that warmth and closeness and home-ness of heaven. And that carried him through the rest of his 6 months of life. And that every time I talked to him, he was like busting out in joy. And he couldn't stop talking about this experience that God gave him that was so real and amazing. So even in the midst of worldly suffering, we have amazing joy and happiness. Just with the reality of heaven and the hope of heaven. And that's amazing. It's amazing that God does reveal prophetically about these things so that we do have hope and we do have joy. God's love is so rich and amazing. And I love how in nature he paints the picture of that gospel message, the good news, everywhere you look. So that's another thing that, you know, as you're looking at the details of things, think about how many ways you can see the gospel message in nature. It's amazing. If you're just thinking about it, the way, like I mentioned fruit, if a peach falls off a tree and it's dead and it just rots there on the ground and then the seed is totally dead, yet it springs up with new life. And it's just the picture of the resurrection right there. And it's all around us and all the plants and how the Lord designed that cycle of death and new life. Just so amazing. I love it. Well, thank you for humoring me and just kind of meditating on God's love. It's such a blessing, especially when we get so busy. I've been in a season of busyness. Like I mentioned, learning the church finances, and then I have my own secular job as well. I've just been in that season. We all go through different seasons that the Lord asks us to go through. And I feel like God's bringing me out of that now as things have been settling down. And it's sweet to kind of take a deep breath, sip your coffee, and notice the little things, you know, about how much God does pour out his love on us. 2 weeks ago, my older daughter's been in England, Ginger, the one that helps with the worship team on Sunday mornings. The Lord led her to England and Scotland for 4 months, and that was just kind of out of the blue, and missionary texted her and said, "Hey, are you free this summer?" And so she got to do an internship over there, and it's been an amazing experience for her, but we've missed her like crazy. And but you know, time and money don't, not able to go over there, but the Lord just opened the doors 2 weeks ago. It was a Wednesday. I felt led to check flight prices and found these crazy deals, and we were on the plane on Sunday. And my boss said, "Sure, you can leave for 2 weeks." What? So that was amazing. And God just pouring his love out on us, you know. And his impromptu family vacation, got to reunite with my daughter after 3 months. And she's been planning this event in Scotland, Creation Fest, outreach event in a city called Dundee. And the teen pregnancy, they're the teen pregnancy capital of Scotland and the drug overdose capital of Europe. So it was a troubled city, but a beautiful city nonetheless. And so it was just sweet to be able to go there, see our daughter, and then she was the volunteer coordinator. So 130 volunteers, and she put us to work, which is great because we also got a free place to stay since we're volunteering. There was a ministry house there. So God provided in that we got cheap flight tickets and a free place to stay for like 9 days in Europe. And that was amazing. So we got to minister, and she assigned us to teams. And again, the Lord impressed upon me his love. He's been doing that again and again, as I mentioned, throughout the year. You know, a lot of times we see somebody might be hard to deal with, some hard personalities, or some people that are just so stubborn against God, and you're just kind of scratching your head, right? Like, wow, why is this person so difficult? Yet seeing God work in a person's life like that, and reaching out to a person like that, it's amazing to me. It's like God's showing me through his eyes, right? Like, I love that person, and I'm going to bend over backward to show myself to be real to that person, even though this person is so blatantly, you know, against God. And that's another thing I've noticed at work with an individual there, that I see God doing amazing things for this person, like totally talking into this person's life, and this person is just still stubbornly rejecting God, atheist, but coming out of a Christian home, so you know they know about God, you know they're just angry or something, there's something there. And but seeing God do amazing things so patiently and so gently. It's amazing to see God's gentleness and his patience as he pours out love on the unlovable, which speaks to me and us. If that's what God's doing, he's being patient and gentle and loving to these unlovable people, then that's what I should be doing. Follow his lead, right? So that's been something he's been showing me as well. And in Scotland, I'm not very outgoing, but Ginger put us on the street team because that team was the smaller team and it needed help. So it was just and the attack of the enemy was thick. You know, you feel the oppression there in the city, and people are just so ignorant of God and not wanting to hear about God, so it's hard to go out on the street and kind of approach people. And And I'm not used to the Scottish culture. I was surprised. It's not like Braveheart. They're not these like really outgoing, strong, blah, 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 you know? That's how I kind of picture Scottish folks. But I was talking to one of the local pastors there, and he was just explaining to me the culture, and they feel so oppressed by England, just the history, you know, of England kind of lording over them. And they're such a timid people, and at least there in that city as well, I saw it. People were so quiet and really hard to approach, really hard to talk to. And as Americans, we just felt like loud, obnoxious. Like I had to really check myself a lot. Like, oh, I need to be more quiet. And but just insecure, a lot of insecurity and timidity. And so we just really had to pray up and pray against the spiritual warfare. And the Lord really answered our prayers and led us to those divine appointments. There was one lady who was, she seemed to be homeless, but I don't know if she was faking it or not, but begging for money in a wheelchair. And so the Lord just led me to her, and we started talking, and I talked to her about the Lord, and she said, you know what, God's been working on my heart for months. And it was just, she was ready for whatever I had to say. I was like, wow, God, you, because we've been praying for this event ahead of time, you know, and God was preparing the way in this lady's heart. And so she just gave her life to the Lord. And it, as I was talking to her, it was evident that she's in the drug, I mentioned to you this, the drug overdose capital of Europe. And she seemed to be very involved with that community. People were coming up to her who knew her, who were wasted. And I don't know if she was a dealer or what, but she at least, she was in the community and she knew all those people. And the Lord just led me to give her flyers. So I gave her like a whole stack of these flyers we were handing out and asked her to go give them to her friends. And she said, yeah, I will. It was like amazing because, like I said, I'm not very outgoing and I don't know how to approach this people in this culture, but of course he led us to those few divine appointments. But then he anointed this lady who was down in the midst of it and knew all of the druggies and homeless, and she started distributing flyers for the event. It was amazing. And so as again, like, wow, God, your love is amazing and your plan and your orchestration. And I saw her the next day in a very odd place. It was kind of far from the event, and I thought I might have seen her at the event, but there was this other church we were at for like break times, and she was so excited. She said, I handed those flyers out to all my friends, and I forgot to mention that when I talked to her the first time, other people had approached her that same day and given her the gospel. So the Lord was just repeatedly softening her heart. So I had the easy part, you know. She was just ready to just do anything that the Lord wanted her to do. She was ready to be broken. And she had this magazine that was the whole Gospel of John. And I told her to read start with the book of John. It's a good place to start for a new believer. And she said, look, she knew somebody had given her a book of the Bible, but she didn't know what book. And I thought she was just a little confused. I said, well, the Bible has a lot of books in it. Did they give you a Bible? She wasn't sure. So I see her the next day, and sure enough, she has just one book. It's the Gospel of John in this magazine form, but it was the full Gospel of John. And she was so excited because she saw God's hand there. That I told her to read the book of John, and somebody had given her the book of John, and that's all that they gave her. So it was just really cool to see that orchestration. And I know as believers, we see God's hand like that. And it's just so good to be reminded and to see, like I mentioned, coming out of a busy season, it was so great to kind of take a breather, meet with the family, and be used of God and see his orchestration in Dundee, Scotland. And so God's love is just so amazing and timely and perfect and good. So, so good. So let's continue. I want to read through what John has to say about love. So verse 16, we read, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" A fair question. If we see another brother or sister in need and we don't do anything about it, then how are we showing God's love? That's a very convicting verse, because sometimes we're so surrounded by people in need that we could feel guilty all the time. But we have to be led by the Spirit. And the Lord will lead you by the Spirit. But we first have to be willing and soft before the Lord to say, "Lord, I do want to share what I have. You've given me things. You've blessed me with all kinds of stuff. And not just physical, spiritual stuff. How do you want me to share that? Who do you want me to share that with?" And then we're led by the Spirit throughout the day in how we share what we have. But the key is to come to God with a willing heart. Verse 18, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on his name, on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." So just bringing back the simplicity of what are we commanded to do and what should we be about in life. And so John's reminding us that we're to be about love. And our first step is believing on the name of Jesus. That's that moment of salvation. But as we walk from that moment and onward, he wants us to walk in love, receiving his love, but also pouring out his love on others. Verse 24, "Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit of whom he has given us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit." I'm going to skip to verse 7 as we continue the topic of love. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." So God is love. If you think about everything in 1 Corinthians 13, it's the love chapter that really defines that godly love, that agape love. Love is kind, love is patient, love is long-suffering. Love forgives, doesn't hold grudges. That is what God is all about, and God is love. Verse 9, "In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." So, simply put, the gospel message, right? Jesus came here so that we might live through him. He nailed our sin to the cross so that we can live a sinless life, completely forgiven, completely righteous in his eyes, free from bondage, free from oppression, free from condemnation. We can walk forward in boldness and in grace in his Spirit. Verse 10, "In this Is love not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins? Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So again, taking His love as an example, as we look around us and we see how much He's loving, not only us, but those around us, then we mimic His love. We follow His example. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him, and He in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So again, he took that first step of love toward us, and then we respond in love. And there's so many great scriptures in here. But I love verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And from earlier in the verses, God is love. So when we're struggling with fear, we can just confidently call upon His name. And God is faithful to cast out fear. Because what is perfect love? God. God is perfect love. He casts out fear. So as we call upon Him in prayer and trust in Him, He casts out fear. And the more we learn to trust Him and the more we see His faithfulness in our life, the less we're going to fear. And that's something He's been showing me, as I mentioned, with the finances. It's just, He saved us last time, He's going to do it again. And He's so good and faithful. Verse 20, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So again, and another thing that John says is, if we love God, we're going to keep his commandments. And what is his commandment? His commandment is love. So he wants us to love others, not hate. So if we're hating somebody, we're being in direct disobedience to God, and we have to give up that bitterness and that hatred. And people do us wrong, right? They do things that are ridiculous, and they act silly, and for all types of different reasons, whether it's jealousy, whether it's their own hate for God, and you're godly, so they're going to hate you too. There's all types of different motivation behind the heinous things people will do that will upset you. And we just have to give it to God, continually give it up to God, and forgive. They might not ask for forgiveness, but we can't hold on to that root of bitterness, or it will eat us alive, and it's not good. It brings me back to when I used to work at AAA, and I worked with a lot of young people, and it was just interesting to me at that time in life, people were kind of interested in faith, because they were all young. But they wanted to find out more, you know, like what does it take to get saved? And different people had different hang-ups, you know, and it was just a season of my life where God was showing me the different ways people would reject him and why. And one guy he was holding on to a root of bitterness. He just, I don't know who he hated, but he hated somebody. And he literally said, I cannot give that up. I can't give up hating that person. There's no way. And I told him that's, you know, God would want you to give that up. If you're seeking salvation, he's going to ask you to give it up. And so that for him was a deterrent to coming to God. And that's sobering but true, and some people are in that place. But we need to be careful as Christians and as believers that we're continually checking in with the Lord. God, am I holding grudges? I need to give that up. Chapter 5, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but just the first five verses as John continues this subject of love. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So he's kind of just reiterating the same thing in a different way. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Isn't that true? God isn't about laying burdens on us and giving us a long list of to-dos. He's all about love and relationship. And if you think about parenting, because God's our Father, we just want to protect and love our kids as parents. For those of you that are parents or have had kids, and you want to protect them from running out in the street. So you're obviously going to have a rule. Don't run out in the street. You're going to get hurt. And that's what God's about. He loves us. He wants to protect us. And he wants to see us filled with joy. And so his instruction has everything to do with love and loving others. Verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So such an awesome ending right here on this verse with the victory. The victory. We have victory in Christ. We have victory in God. We have overcome the world because we believe in Jesus Christ. It's not what you know, it's who you know. We know Jesus, and he has the answer, and the victory is in him. And it's all about love and loving other people. And I think sometimes as Christians, we can lose sight of that because we can get sidetracked in thinking too deeply on heady subjects or whatnot. Not that it's wrong to study difficult topics and stuff. That's fun. But it's always good to come back to the simplicity of love, and it's all about love, accepting God's love and giving it out to other people. And that's what God's about. So thank you, Father, for this message of love. And first of all, we want to thank you for all the love you've bestowed on us as we've meditated on what you've done in our lives, what you've done in creation, and what you're going to continue to do, Lord. You're our provider. You're our comfort. You're everything, Lord. And we love you. And we just pray that you would continue to fill us so that we can reach out to others and share the love that you've given to us. That many, Lord, can come to know you in a much deeper and stronger way. We do pray against, Lord, the ignorance that's so prevalent nowadays. And just show us, Lord, the steps to take to spread your word. And we just thank you, Father. Thank you for this time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.